Luke 11:24 says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Now, we talked about the dry places being places where the word and the power of the Holy Spirit is not. So it says he goes through there seeking rest. Now, that rest in the Greek is like an intermission or a place to relax. So the demonic are looking for a place where they can camp out, relax, put their feet up. Remember when Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest is the same rest that we're talking about here. Jesus is saying, when you come to me with your burdens, if you give those to me, I'm going to give you a yoke and a burden that you can carry, but it's nowhere near the burden that you're carrying right now. Because that burden that we are carrying is this structure of lies. Right? That's a burden. When I believe that you don't like me, that weighs on me. And if I believe you don't like me, and you don't like me, and you don't like me, that weighs on me. And somebody looked at me funny, so they must not like me. And so then I'm carrying all this, and that's a burden. And God says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Because right now, the only person or the only being at rest is the unclean spirit. Because he's camped out in this refuge of lies that you believe about yourself. And it's giving him full access to your heart, to your mind, to your physical man, to just bring havoc into your life because you believe these things to be true when, because you're living in that absolutes, that never always, and you, it's like, okay, I can't seem to get out of here. So he goes, when he gets cast out, he goes looking for a place to rest. Now, I have a term that I use. It's not about the demon, unless it's about the demon. Has some humor to it for some of you. Like, I don't understand what he just said. It's not about the demon unless it's about the demon, meaning that there are things that are demonic that need to be dealt with, but we have a tendency sometimes to blame it all on the devil. Okay? You cast that demon out, as we learned, he's going to return to his house. He wants to see if the belief system, that house is not you, it's your belief system. He wants to see if it still remains intact. And so he returns and he comes back because you believe that it's demonic. So I just got to get rid of the demon. Now, some people will be like, well, you know, are you saying it's not demonic? I'm saying it's not important. Understand me. It's not important whether it's a demon or not a demon. Do we have to deal with the demons? Yes. God says you're going to cast out spirits. God says resist the devil, he will flee from you. He's given us authority over principalities and powers in his name. The important thing is understanding what you are believing. Because if what you're believing is not true, you are opening up a door to the enemy in any area of your life. We all have strongholds. Some of us are still living in our Jericho. I call the Jericho stronghold. That's the one that is so huge that we just can't seem to get past it. Some of us have overcome the Jericho, and we got those other strongholds that in the promised land that they had to take over that are more minor, and we're going to be working through those probably all of our lives. So he goes out of a man. He says, I'm looking for a place of rest. I'm looking for a place to kick back and relax. Because I had that in that person. I had that in you, but I don't have it anymore because I got cast out. So he says, I'm going to return to my house from which I came. He says he finds it swept and put in order. Order, I thought was interesting. Order in the Greek means that basically you rearrange it and you make it proper. So you didn't tear down the stronghold. You didn't change your belief system. You just rearranged it. Okay? You just look at it differently. I swept up. I still have this stronghold where I'm rejected. But you know what? I feel better right now. So it's not major rejection. It's just a little bit of rejection. And you start justifying things in your mind. You start looking. But you don't want to deal with the reality of what you really believe. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't hide spiritual realities from the enemy, okay? Because the enemy, you know, sometimes I don't play poker, but I was talking with somebody and they were talking about these poker things. Well, there's these certain people that all, they're like the professionals. They end up at the table when they do these huge events where thousands of people come and play. They're the ones that are always end up at the main table at the end for the $1 million prize. And it's like, you know, there might be a handful of people that maybe out of thousands of people, there's like these 10 people that are good chance that one, you know, a group of them are going to end up at that table. Why? Is it because they're lucky? No. It's because they, not only do they know the game well, but they can read the person that they're at the table with. They watch for, they call them tells. You know, their eyebrow goes up and they're able to tell, okay, they actually have this card in their hand. Now, if a human being can do that, what do you think a demon can do? Right? You got all kinds of tells. You know, you might say, I don't feel rejected anymore, but you're like, I don't feel rejected anymore. You know, you have a certain look you get on your face whenever rejection comes, you know, and the enemy knows that it's like, oh, that's a rejection face. Because they know your tells. They know that when they hit you with something, you're going to respond a certain way. So he comes and he hits you and you respond. He's like, ah, he still believes this. He still thinks that, or she still thinks it doesn't, that they believe that they're this, that this is who they are. They're still living in that false identity. And he says, okay. He said, I'm going to take with myself seven other spirits more wicked than myself. In other words, I'm bringing in reinforcements. And the last state of the man, now the last state means, I believe that it implies that the end of the man is going to be worse than the beginning. And I don't, because I have not seen this to be true, very, 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 very rare, that a person gets seven times worse after a demon's cast out. I, you know, sometimes like, comes back seven times worse. I'm like, we got to be really careful with that because seven times is big. So if a person's like really in bad shape, you take that times seven. I've very rarely seen that happen. But I have seen people who get delivered from a demon. They end up back in their stronghold. And over time, that thing gets worse. Because the enemy's trying to take them to that last state. He's introducing more bondage to their life, a new bondage, new ways of thinking. One of the things that happens is if you get set free from a demon, you feel better, and then you return back into bondage again. You all of a sudden you start believing, well, maybe God isn't powerful enough to get me free. Right? You start to form a belief system that says, well, I tried that, and it didn't work. And so now I'm back in this place again. I'm back in this place of bondage where I thought I was free from. You start to form a whole new theology about God and about his power and about, because you don't understand what's really happening. And so then the enemy comes alongside that and he brings in maybe fear. Fear might become stronger. You had some presence of fear before, but now it becomes stronger. You know, maybe the anxiety gets worse. Or he'll take things that were there and they might start to become more and more pronounced because the enemy realizes, hey, I've got him up against the ropes. He thought he was free, but now he's thinking he's not, and he's thinking this isn't going to work. The enemy doesn't have a problem with you going to 10 different healing ministries. He just has a problem with you getting free. Okay? And there are religious spirits that love going to healing ministries. Okay? They don't care if you go there and go through all of the routines as long as your heart doesn't engage. And they know if they have you in this lie, and if you continue to believe the lie, then your heart won't engage. They know that. And they're content with that. It's like, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, he says, well, the devil isn't in church. I said, well, what happened when Jesus was in the temple and he was preaching and that spirit started manifesting? They're like, oh, that's a good point. I'm like, the devil comes to church, okay? You don't think the devil's in church, just hang out in church for a while, you'll see. You know, because we're people, right? We bring our junk with us to church. We bring our strongholds. And so when you're in this place, the enemy wants to get you, he wants to solidify, so you begin to form greater absolutes. Well, I thought I could be free, but now I guess I can't. So I guess I'm never going to be free. But yet, you'll go from ministry to ministry trying to get free. And I've had people say, I don't think I'm going to get free. And I'm like, why are you here? Because I tell you why they're here. They're here because the Holy Spirit's driving them forward and saying, come on, this is for you. This is for you. And they're there, but they're having a hard time believing it because they've had so many failures. They've had so many. It's like my wife was saying, they've been kneeling on the metal grayer hearing, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure. And they can't seem to get past that. And that's why we as ministers of the gospel need to speak forth truth into their life. We need to speak forth power into their life until God brings them into a place and he changes their heart.